Do you know someone suffering from addiction? Call 866-547-6451 or visit us on the web at SoberMalibu.com today. Sober Recovery Center is the only Joint Commission accredited addiction treatment center in Malibu. At the Sober Recovery Center, we treat the underlying psychological disorders and the symptoms of addiction. We live by the creed that one size does not fit all. The bottom line is we provide treatment that works for you or your loved one. Call 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com for immediate help for any drug or alcohol problem. Our expert team is committed to helping develop a customized program to ensure your recovery experience is life-changing. The SRC program is the only affordable program to offer such a high quality of care with so many therapies from renowned therapists. Our therapists and doctors will assist you by providing the necessary tools to manage your life and address the issues that have plagued you. Counselors are ready to help you and your loved ones 24 hours a day. That's 866-547-6451 or visit SoberMalibu.com today. Help is just a call away at 866-547-6451.
Have you ever thought about long-term care? MKN Financial Group provides long-term care planning and insurance that can be custom designed to cover expenses as you grow older. Long-term care can take in the comfort of your own home, in adult daycare centers, and at assisted living or skilled facilities. With so many options to choose, Marcy Nunn can help you design a plan that is tailored for you. Call her today at 805-644-3535. That's 805-644-3535.
Side of Recovery, sponsored by Sober Recovery Center. Finally, a radio show that not only tackles the brighter side of addiction, recovery, mental health, and anything in life that you are recovering from, but also a show with the answers for family, friends, and those who love an addict. Hosted by award-winning radio show host and motivational leader Kim Pagano, Sherry Gaba, a psychotherapist and certified recovery coach, and Jennifer Chastain, an advocate for the community. Tune in for the brighter side of recovery on The Kim Pagano Show from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. They bring you the experts, authors, and professionals that speak to the issues that are important to you, the listener. Give them the questions, and they will bring you the solutions to whatever you are recovering from. And now, here's Ventura County's favorite radio show host, it's Kim Pagano.
Welcome, welcome, everyone, and I hope that you are having an amazing weekend. I do want to remind everybody that we are here from 6 to 8 every Saturday, and then again from 2 to 3, and welcome to the brighter side of recovery. We've had some amazing phone calls. I want to just start off with giving you our number right now, 805-419-0008, 419-0008, and if there's anything that we can do to help you get some help or just lead you in the right direction or any of that stuff, we'd love to help. That's what we're here for. I want to welcome Sherry Gaba. How
Hi,
are you?
Fantastic.
Very good. Jennifer?
Hello, everybody.
All right. We've been here early, and
we have.
Came back, and what a great day. Tom, how's it going?
Great afternoon. Looking good out there, Kim.
There you go. Well, I want to start off with a little bit of motivation. That's what we do here. And it takes 4 weeks for you to notice a change. It takes 8 weeks for your friends to notice. It takes 12 weeks for the rest of the world to notice a change. It takes one day to decide that you are enough.
I think that's
our message, that you are enough. I mean, we all need to know that our gift is just being present in the moment and knowing that we all have a purpose. And again, I do want to remind anybody that is just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And I do want to make sure that you know to follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. We've got a newsletter that goes out to tons of our listeners. We'd love to make sure that you're getting it. We blog in there and you find out a little bit about us, about our guests, about all of the great events that are happening around here, and it's a great thing that goes out, and that goes out once a week, and we'd love to get that in your hands. Again, our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We have a great show for you today. I want to make sure that you actually know that we have a podcast now that you can listen to all of our back shows, and all you have to go to is iTunes and Kim Pagano Show. Search it out and subscribe to it so you can hear all of our shows anytime you want.
Wherever you're at, you can take us with you.
There you go. And if you have a business or an event or anything that's happening that you need us to share with everyone about it, we'd love to hear from you. You can either give us a call. Again, our phone number here is 805-419-0008 or kim@kimpaganoshow.com. Our first guest this afternoon is Melody Beatty. I have to tell you, I read her books every day. I love what she's doing. And we're going to be talking about managing the business of our life. And it's interesting, we talked briefly a little bit about it, but I think you're going to want to stick around and listen more about that. Also joining us is Michelle Rosenthal, and we're going to be talking about Heal Your PTSD. It's not just veterans. There's everybody. I mean, so many people have a degree of this, and we're going to find out a little bit more about how you can really heal your life. That's what this is all about, the brighter side of recovery. Tom, you want to talk about all of our giveaways?
Yes, we do. Excellent restaurants. Let's start off with Paul Martin's. We also have the Lure Fish House gift card, along with BJ's Restaurant, Famous Dave's, Lazy Dog Cafe, and the Midtown Cafe. We go over to the Veggie Grill, Rubio's Fresh Mexican Grill, and Pete's Breakfast House, along with, for kids, how about a free kids meal at The Habit? We carry on with the Rubicon Theater Company Copenhagen all the way through the 27th of this month. Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, we find the Beach Boys there on the 25th, also of this month, September. On the 26th, if you can head out to Riverside, it is Menopause, the musical, the Survivor Tour, Fox Performing Arts Center. We found out that all of the women performing that are breast cancer survivors.
Which is amazing.
That is remarkable.
How neat
is that?
How inspiring.
Great play done by inspiring women. So excellent if you can win that. Ventura Harvest Festival at Seaside Park. Early Christmas shopping is done there. Huge event. This is good stuff. October 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. And finally, Cal State University, Channel Islands. If you like baseball, Dodgers versus Padres, they take you out to Dodger Stadium. What did they say? They have like 30 buses? A ridiculous
amount. Yeah, they have 1,000 people that they're taking.
I know.
So,
yeah. And of course, all the all you can eat is sold. That I'm upset about that. I need to get on it earlier next year. You know,
the all you can eat the ticket that includes the all you can eat snack bars,
a hot dog, an inning. Boom.
There you go. But I like Jennifer's idea, half and half. You know, so you don't have to get two. You just
pickles
split
and
it.
Ketchup on one side, onions and mustard on the other.
It's all good, right? You get the best side of.
And then I'm gonna have a bite of Tom's because I only got one.
There you go. That's it. All right. Well, let's just start off with some Rubicon Theater tickets, and that's Copenhagen. That's playing till the 27th, and I think we've had them on our show. It's going to be a great show, and it's going right now. 805-419-0008, 419-0008. I'm also going to throw out a couple pairs of Ventura Harvest Festival at Seaside Park tickets, and that's October 2nd to the 4th, and we'd love you to get out there. All right, let's bring our first guest on, Melody Beatty. Melody, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Kim.
How are you doing?
I'm great. How about yourself?
So good. Love talking with you and love all you do and all you write. And I just kind of want to, you know, for our listeners that haven't heard you on our show, and I thank you so much for coming back a couple times now. Tell us a little bit about your journey as an author and how you really got started and where you are today.
My journey as an author and my journey as a... Let's just talk about my journey as a person.
Okay.
What we all are. I started writing when I was 6. Wanted to be a writer. Passionately wrote stories all the time.
Wow, when you were 6 years old.
My family... Well, that was my mother and my stepfather of the year. And they loved it until I started writing stories about what really happened at home.
Like the honest truth, you know?
And then it was... We don't talk about that.
Yeah. You know what?
Fast forward, I was an alcoholic. I'd been drinking, blackout drinking, when I was 12 years old.
Mm.
18, I made a life-changing decision, and that was many years ago. The hippie movement was just starting. I want to be a drug addict. Don't want to drink anymore. So I switched to drugs. When I was 24, the state of Minnesota gave me a choice. I could either go to prison or I could go to treatment for as long as it takes. Now, understand, this was, there weren't treatment centers on every corner back then. Recovery among young people was just barely getting started, where, you know, young people went to 12-step groups, or they even thought young people could have a problem. So I was sent to a state hospital in northern Minnesota, and they meant for however long it takes. Luckily, I was there for 8 months, I think, for many of us.
And you've been sober ever since. Hi, Melody. It's Sherry.
Hi, Sherry. I have been blessed with sobriety. When I was in treatment, I had one slip after I got sober, and I talked about it in group openly, even though it could conceivably have gotten me sent to prison. But when I had my spiritual awakening first, and to me, beginning to lie again and walk around with guilt was worse than going to prison.
So what would you tell a young person today? Because, you know, there's so many young people entering treatment, as you know, a lot of heroin
it's
addicts.
It's almost like an epidemic right now.
There is. Yeah. It isn't almost. It is.
It
and
is, yeah.
I'm wondering what you might say to a parent, too.
Well, there's two things. First, our society has changed. Society, honestly, was more forgiving of addicts back then.
Oh, that is so true.
Is that better, or is that going to make it worse?
Well, addicts are not going to find that much forgiveness. And I'm talking about after they recover. Say you've got some charges, you've got problems.
Oh,
hard to reenter society.
That's so true.
That's that's such a good point. Because when I was doing life coaching, a little bit at the Sober Recovery Center, they said, "Well, what about my felony? I mean, honestly, you know, I didn't know where to send them."
Realistically, it is hard, and I would strongly suggest that someone like that get online and start pursuing any programs they can that will help out people with a record. And the other thing to keep in mind, and that I always focused on, forgetting about what I didn't have and focusing on where I was and what I did have, I believe we can get wherever we want to go from where we are.
So you're talking about gratitude.
Yeah, but it is harder. It is harder for people with an active record. And so you asked me about young people and what would I say to them. If you get a chance to solve this problem you have with addiction and alcoholism, the younger you are, the better. You don't want to go out in this world with any strikes against you that you don't have to have.
That's a really good point, because not only does it do becoming addicted with drugs and alcohol affect you on that level, but everybody at some point wants to get sober. So when you finally do reach that point, you're going to have a whole new set of problems that you have to deal with because of the choices you made in the past.
Very true.
It's a great investment in themselves if people get the chance to just even understand what's going on with them. When I was drinking alcoholically, using drugs addictively, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was going, well, I'm an addict, and I didn't have that knowledge.
Do you think that it's because we weren't allowed, I mean, as children way back when we were all kids, right, we were supposed to be seen and not heard. And now it's all about being mindful, being feelings, knowing your feelings. I mean, I know there's so many people, even to this day, you ask them what they're feeling, they're like, I don't know, I'm just angry. Why are you angry? And it's something maybe from their past, from their family, maybe something they never understood, so they just stuffed.
Almost every strong emotional reaction we have today is linked to our past.
That's
so funny. I saw something like that. It said any anger that you – if someone brings anger to you, that means they're opening up something from your past that you have not figured
out. Not always.
But not always. But
there's somewhere in there. That issue of anger. And I'm not saying that the current anger isn't justified. I'm saying that if we haven't been dealing with our emotions, we're not just bringing our anger right now to that person. We're bringing all the angers we never dealt with.
And I think what's important is to know if someone is angering you that much. I had this happen to me this morning. It was just like right in my face. It's because someone is a mirror of something about yourself that you've closed off that don't want to admit to. I mean, it's the truth.
We will be more effective as human beings once we know how to deal with our emotions. And we will be. Dealing with anger can really make things worse unless we take the time to maybe back out first, take a look at our feelings, get rid of any historical stuff attached to today's emotions, and then problem solve, figure out what do I want to do, what do I want to say to this person. When we attack any person with anger, guess what we're going to get in return?
Anger back. Yeah.
Exactly.
No question. Melody, you write so many books, and I don't know if you heard me when I was introing you in. My husband and I read a lot of your books. I start my day with them, and I really wanted to share that with our listeners. But they're little stories. They're little stories about your everyday life. And, of course, it's letting go of codependency. Where does codependency in your mind start?
Okay. First, let me explain the word a little.
Please.
I think we've gotten, a lot of people have gotten almost a negative reaction to the word codependency because we get these boogeymen in our head about what it means. And it's really, the word is just a tool to help us identify a system of behavioral traits and responses that we may have. It's not a label. We don't have to go down under with it and say, oh, I'm all messed up. That's not what we're saying. We're identifying a set of problem-solving tools once we understand what codependency is. Where does it come from? I think it's probably been around as long as people have been. I mean, from what I can tell from reading old, are you there?
Yeah, of course.
Reading old
yeah.
writings, even, and I don't want to get into any particular religions, but it's hard to go back in history without seeing examples of codependency because it's how we react.
It's about wanting approval. It's about people pleasing. It's about shame. I really wanted, and I know you want to ask something, Kim, and, but I really want to get into this idea of codependency and shame. You know, I think there's a lot of shame in the rooms of, well, you know, I hate to, it's an anonymous program, but Al-Anon, there's just a lot of shame, and people don't know where to go with those feelings. You can't really deal with those feelings at a 12-step meeting.
Shame is such a slimy emotion, it's like mercury, it hides, it goes to a corner, it's a chameleon. We don't really know it's there, and if we felt shame our whole lives, we don't even know it's shame. To us, that's feeling normal.
That's so true. I do want to remind anybody that's just tuning in with us right now that you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. We're talking with Melody Beatty. We're talking about managing the business of our life. I mean, it really is. It's interesting, you know, you get halfway through your life and you go, I still don't know everything, you know,
right.
and you just keep learning. And books like Melody's, I mean, I read it, I can identify it. I never knew that I was really codependent. I think we all are in a sense.
I was just going to ask you, Melody, give us an example of someone who's codependent, possibly in a way that is not related to drugs and alcohol.
I was just thinking that, like, because, what, how someone could use this information
so
that's
say,
not
oh,
in recovery.
Oh, sorry, that doesn't apply to me because my husband or my spouse or my friend is not an addict. But I really think there's a lot more codependence than that. So give our listeners an example of a codependent that is not in recovery.
Well, it's hard for me to just jump up. I can talk about my own life.
Okay.
And I've been actively working on myself for many, many years. And when my codependency kicks in now, or what, when my old beliefs, when my old ways of behaving, when all that stuff in the past crops up, it doesn't have anything to do with alcohol and drugs anymore. It's connected, or people using alcohol and drugs anymore. It can be connected to a business decision. There's a policy in place in a business. I don't like how it's happening. I start to feel, oh, they're persecuting me. I shouldn't say anything. I shouldn't ask this. Or we get a decision we don't like, and we start feeling victimized. And, I mean, I can spend 6 months reacting to the problem.
Right. And that's kind of,
That must be something. I mean, the shame from the past. I don't deserve. I don't know as much. I'm not as competent. This is working for me. All of the things we tell ourselves that just aren't true.
Right. And do you get that? Because I don't think that Jennifer's still not getting it.
I don't get what that.
It's almost like if I'm just going to throw this out there, and of course it doesn't relate to, it probably relate to somebody, but maybe if your parents never said, you know, God, Jennifer, you're not really good enough. Your brother's going to do this because now you're where you are, and somebody says, we've got this position, then all of a sudden you get this feeling like, I'm not really good enough, and all of a sudden you get this anxiety. Melody, am I explaining it right?
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Not that much different than computers.
Right.
We have programs in our head, and it allows us to walk around the world without having to do in-depth thought about every interaction we have.
You know, one subject or one emotion that I think is not talked about enough is abandonment. And that's a trigger that we see a lot. And they don't talk about that. Again, I'm going to go back to, quote, meeting. So abandonment can be, you know, definitely a result of a codependent. It's a codependent trait. It absolutely is a codependent trait. So you could speak to that, Melody.
Right. And well, I'm even going to speak. If, say, you're going through a marriage and, you know, you don't even know. Maybe you're a really strong person. But all of a sudden, now your marriage starts to become in the rocks and you're having problems. All of a sudden, your insecurity sticks in because now you think you have a partner. Now you don't have a partner. Wait, am I even good enough to go out
by myself? You're back to that child again.
It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think the hardest thing with abandonment is that unless you have felt it, it's hard to console somebody with that because you don't know what that's like to have a parent not want you.
Right. And I really.
And that's not an emotion I know there are a lot of people who feel that emotion, but I don't think there are a lot of other emotions that more people have felt.
It's a very dangerous emotion too, the fear of abandonment. If we don't deal with it, we can cling to someone we don't even like or want to be with for years and years. Just
because we don't want to be alone.
We don't want that old feeling of abandonment.
I agree with you.
Gone back and dealt with it. Adults can't be abandoned.
Right.
And I am crazy in my own right. You all know that. But I will say that is one emotion I don't think I feel. And I'm very thankful for that. My parents are divorced.
Believe
but
me,
for
you
some
should be.
reason, that is not.
It's not a pleasant emotion.
That is not an emotion that I, and I'm not bragging. I'm saying I'm crazy in my own way. But
well, we are.
It's such a
you
hard,
know, I
a hard
have
one.
Abandonment happen in reverse, where I was with a man who had been abandoned. I didn't want him to have to go through that. So I was going to stay and prove that I'd be the one that didn't abandon him.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
That's a lot to take on.
Yeah.
So how does someone...
I wasn't conscious of it. I mean, it takes a degree of consciousness to understand our motives and what's driving us, to understand the program in our own computer. The only way I have ever been able to understand myself is to deal with my feelings as they arise.
So someone's out there and they're feeling kind of lonely and empty. They've given up maybe the drugs or alcohol. They maybe had gone through a divorce. Maybe their child's even going off to college and it's bringing up all that those
empty
feelings.
Empty nest is vicious.
Oh, and that's the word, empty. So what would you say to that person who's suffering out there? Because I know there are many people out there that have that emptiness, that hole.
Well, we had so many callers last...
You were telling me about that.
Yeah, I mean, and we want you to call. We want you to have a place. I'm just going to say, I have to tell you, Melody Beatty's books... My God, you've got a blog, you've got, you know, I mean, I just, that's why I really am so excited to have you connected with our show and to keep having you back, because I so believe that it's helped me. It's helped me realize in so many ways that we just got to keep strengthening ourselves and working, and that we're not alone. We are not alone. There's a journey of all of us out there, and it's a strength that we have to find within ourselves.
Right. I mean, we have the business of running our own lives. Each of us is responsible for managing our own lives. The more information we can gather to help us manage it, and I mean understanding ourselves, understanding our emotions, understanding what's driving us, learning how to deal with feelings, learning how to set boundaries. We're talking, these are all problem-solving skills, and we need, the more we can acquire, the better.
Oh, I love that. Melody, will you stay with us? We just got to take a quick break.
Oh, I will be here. I won't abandon you.
Okay, you got it. I love
we
it.
We appreciate that.
All right. All right. You were listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. And, of course, we're going to give something away. And how about menopause? September 26th, we got Menopause the Musical. It's the Survivor Tour. We'd love you to get you there. And, of course, there's a 3 p.m. and an 8 p.m. show. Call us right now, 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We'll be right back.
I'm a lifelong Ventura County resident, and I hate to admit it, but I'm guilty of something, and I'm guilty of being what you call a hair jumper. And what that means is that I'm not really loyal to any one particular barber, stylist, or hair cutter, and that also means my hair doesn't always look as good or as great as it could. Until that is, I met Kim Pagano, the one and only hair therapist of Westlake Village. Now, I wasn't a believer until I got up from her chair and saw the magic she did on this head of hair. And I know she's going to do the same for you. So give her a call, 818-612-0832. That's 818-612-0832. She's going to change your life. She's going to change the life of your hair. And she's going to end your days as a hair jumper. Give Kim Pagano, the hair therapist of Westlake Village, a call. It's 818-612-0832.
Biodental Healing is not your ordinary dental office. We believe in a different approach to dentistry. Holistic dentistry. Holistic dentistry aims to help you enhance the overall health of your mind, body, and spirit through the power of alternative dental care. Experience our VIP touch, including removal of dangerous mercury fillings with extreme safe, protective protocols. We even match your body with the ideal filling materials personalized for you. Located just off the 101 in Newberry Park. Schedule an appointment today with Dr. David Villarreal. Call 805-375-2233. That's 805-375-2233.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally, on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Brighter Side of Recovery. And Jennifer?
I wanted to give a quick shout out to Somas Nuthouse. For all of your holiday needs, for gift giving and things to have in your own home, definitely check them out at SomasNuthouse.com. They ship all around the world, or you can visit their original store right on LA Avenue in Somas. They have fruits, nuts, gifts baskets, and so much more.
There you go. And it's starting to be that season.
It is.
I'm telling you, all that great stuff. All right. For anybody that's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008, 419-0008. We're talking with Melody Beatty. We're talking about managing the business of our life. It's our life. We are the producers. We can start our day in a positive way. We can also, you know, keep burying ourselves with these problems and feelings. And it, basically what Melody just said, the more we learn, the better we'll be able to manage our life. And I think that's so important.
What is something that we can say to somebody if we have a friend that's constantly, they always seem to get to a roadblock? What is a good thing to say to them? You want to be there to listen to their struggles, but also without saying, okay, but you have to pick yourself up. What can you say to that person but basically be telling them, okay, yes, those are your problems, but you have to pick yourself up and move on without seeming incompassionate?
I had a situation like that. I've had it more than once, but even in the last year I had it where it was a business relationship that became a friendship, you know, between two women.
Right.
And it was long distance. We would talk, and I mean, we just got to talking and becoming friends. And pretty soon I was getting 6 calls a day with crazy calls in the middle of the night.
Ooh.
And, you know, can I talk about this with you? And you can tell, first of all, if every suggestion you make is rejected, if they're not doing anything to take positive action, it's a drain.
That's for sure. It is. I mean, that's like, how can you even help?
Well, you can have family members that are like that. It's like, oh, yeah, here goes again. You know, they're not ever learning or not listening. Yeah.
They always get the short end of the stick, but they won't help themselves.
Because it's a poor me attack.
That's the case, because it's important to be compassionate and a listener.
Of course.
But listen to yourself. If your gut's starting to go off, it's telling you something.
Oh, it's so true.
And what we usually do to be good friends is we reject our own gut and say, well, I shouldn't be reacting this. I should be a nicer person. I should listen more. And pretty soon we're gritting our teeth every time their number shows up on our phone.
There are so many people that sabotage their lives by making decisions and choices, and they keep going back for more. I mean, codependents go back for more pain. Addicts and alcoholics go back for pain. What? You know, they talk about that in the big book, you know, some are unconstitutionally incapable. What do you think
we just haven't gotten to a better, more improved place yet. That doesn't mean we can't handle the problem better ourselves. That's time to dig into our bag of tools and say, what do I need to do? And when we can't stand it anymore, when we can't take it, that means it's time to set a boundary.
Well, we're all made of energy. We only have so much energy. And I think as we get older, I think as women, I think we realize we can only take on so much. And I think that's when you're younger, you just think you have so much time and so much energy, and
I think when you're younger, it's so important to help people and be this to this person and be that to that person. And as you get older, you get a little bit more comfortable in your skin, and you can freely
admit, some of us very old.
I cannot be that for you. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we can be tactful. We don't have to be, a jerk when it comes to setting a boundary.
Absolutely.
We need to be clear, and we need to know we mean it. Because if we don't mean it, we're not setting a boundary. We're just saying something like our friend who doesn't mean what they say.
Well, you know what's interesting? I mean, you mentioned boundaries, and honestly, I never knew what boundaries were. I was like unconditional for my family, unconditional for friends, all the people in my life, and was like, sure, you could be late and I'll still help you. You could not do this for me, but I'll still help you. You could, and then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, I feel like a doormat. Hold on a minute. Okay, this isn't their fault. This is my fault.
But I think to some extent, our age generation, if you were good at that, then that's what you needed to do.
Well, you know how they used to say
that. How many people are
the
naturally
strong carry the weak
boundaries?
Go ahead.
We didn't even use that word the way we mean it now until after 1987. And I'm not saying I put the word out there, but the consciousness. My book came out at the time people were becoming conscious of codependency and codependency recovery. We didn't talk about boundaries until that time.
I know.
Exist. Boundaries up until then were what divided states and countries.
Wow, that's so true. I mean, even in a husband-wife relationship, even in a child-mother-father relationship, there has to be boundaries, because that just means that there's no brakes on your feelings of anything that's...
Boundaries aren't for other people.
Boundaries are for ourselves.
This is
knowing
a perfect...
who we are. What don't I like? What do I like? Why don't I like this? What do I need to do to solve this?
I once had a psychiatrist say, are you happy? This was years ago in my 20s, and I'm way older than that. They'd say, how does it make you feel? I mean, sometimes it's like as simple as that. If you know something's not right, I mean, you said it so beautifully, Melody. It's like if your intuition is telling you, that God voice, this is not okay, listen to it.
Yeah.
Own gut saying, I don't like this. This makes me angry.
We have it in our bodies.
We do. I think it's taking away, and this is the codependency part of saying, I just don't like you and I'm not going to be around you anymore. But I think that's a lot harder to do than you think.
Right. And we don't even have to tell someone we don't like
them. No, but in your head, like you can say, I just don't like you and I'm no longer going to pretend
do. And I have to say, I think that you need to honor yourself, because to me, what it would be like if you're not liking a friend,
they're not a friend. What are we doing with them?
Exactly. Why are you going to waste time or energy? I mean, you want to surround yourself with people who love and admire you.
Yeah. What we do should enhance our energy.
Ugh.
Eat the people we're around, the activities we should. Yeah, we're going to get tired. We're going to work hard. But we should be. It should be fulfilling us. We should like what we're doing, and it should add to our energy.
But it comes down to the pain is greater than knowing the truth. When your pain is greater, you know it to be wrong, and you know you need to walk away, but the pain is so you're just struggling with that pain. Those are the people that stay for more.
So you're afraid of the pain, right?
You don't want to feel pain, so you'll do whatever it takes. But you're actually causing more pain.
Correct.
And then you'll be alone.
Terrified.
Right. And alone. Melody, you talk about living from our heart.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I need that.
Yeah. How do you live from your heart?
Same thing we've been talking about since the beginning of the show.
Right.
Dealing with our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Unless we're dealing with our emotions. Once we stop feeling our emotions, we shut down. Our heart is not open. To live with an open heart and passion for life is to stay emotionally present for ourselves. I have not found any other way to do it.
Wow. And if people are shutting down, are blocked to their feelings, how would you tell them to get started? How would you tell them, because there's a lot of people, men, I'm just going to put out there, men do that a lot. They don't have any emotion. They're just there.
Well, they deal with emotions differently than women, too. And
correct.
We can't short them for that.
Right.
We deal with our emotions differently, too.
How did you know you were healthy enough to have a healthy relationship, Mel? That's a very personal question.
Oh, but that's a great question.
I don't like dividing relationships into healthy and unhealthy.
Okay.
That we're going to draw to us and get into a relationship with, for whatever reason, there's something we need to learn about ourselves.
I love that. And you know what?
If it's on the path to getting more functional. I don't like labeling and judging relationships. How can we run away from painful relationships quicker? By setting boundaries, by knowing ourselves. So I don't like doing that with relationships.
That's a great point.
Sorry.
You were asking something for
curious.
Yourself, I guess,
and my
right?
Clients, yeah. Just people in recovery.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Yeah. But you know what? I really believe that, you know, unless we learn it, we keep learning it over and over again. And God presents it to us back again and again and again and again. And then all of a sudden you go, oh, this doesn't feel good.
And I don't think you'll ever meet the right person until you're ready.
Oh, yeah. What do they say? The student's ready?
Right. I mean, we're going to attract to us and keep around us where a reflection of where we're at.
Totally.
Wow. Melody, give us and leave us with, and of course, I hope you can come back. I hope you come back lots of times. But if somebody's really struggling with just recovering from their life in any way, codependency, you know, somebody's blaming them for their life, pain, any kind of pain that they're not managing, they're not putting boundaries, they're not living in gratitude, what would you tell them?
I can tell you what I do.
Please.
Because it still happens with me. One of the things I do is practice willful gratitude. That means I will gratitude whether I feel it or not.
Oh.
I say thank you for everything as it is in my life today.
As it is.
Over and over. I do it in a list in my computer. I include on that list things that are hurting me the most.
And I love how I met Melody was in a course, and she taught me how to find gratitude for the things that aren't so great in my life, and that's a huge tool.
I have used that tool twice in the last couple of months within moments. When I say moments, in one case, it was a problem I lived with for 4 days that could have gone on for 10 years. So instead of fighting it, crying, going, life is so screwed up, I went to my gratitude list.
So great. Thank you for being so transparent.
A problem that would go on for 10 years got solved within that month.
Wow.
I mean, permanently solved.
You permanently solved it?
I didn't.
Oh, it solved itself. I love it. I love it. I love that, a willful gratitude.
Now, you know how L.A. is, right?
Yes.
And I'm looking for a place closer to the studios.
Yes.
A writer's studio in town, small house. Do you know how long it can take to look at homes and find one you like in L.A.?
Oh, yes.
Right now, with the market the way it is, it's taking people up to a year to find a
Oh, how discouraging.
That's, gosh, yeah.
In the middle
demand.
Of being deadline. I started looking for a place 3 weeks ago, and after 2 weeks of hunting, I went to my gratitude list.
So
and I thank God, thank myself, thank life for everything as it was. Within 3 days, I found a house I didn't just like. I fell in love with.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
so that
story.
Just maybe it's kind of
right.
Like a vision board.
What I wanted. I cannot emphasize enough the power of willful gratitude.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Melody Beatty, again, so many books, some letting go of codependency, managing the business of our life. I mean, on and on and on. I urge everybody, give everybody your website.
My websites are under construction. They're coming back up.
Oh, okay.
I have great information, including there's a whole site devoted to the gratitude exercise. And it's my name, first and last name, melodybeatty.com. MelodyBeatty.net and MelodyBeatty.org. My webmaster is right now, I don't know if that's what they're called anymore. I don't know. But the person that does that for me.
And we're grateful for him.
it's been slow happening, but she's working on it. And it was just time. You have to keep upgrading your website.
Oh, that's this for is sure. so true. Oh. All right. Melody Beatty, I so thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Yeah.
And I'll email you soon, Melody.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Thank you again. All right. All right. We are going to take a really quick break. When we come back, we're going to be talking with Michelle Rosenthal, Heal Your PTSD, and how trauma really affects the brain. You are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, and let's give something away. We've got Harvest Festival tickets, and that is October 2nd through the 4th. We got a couple pairs to give away. Call in right now, 805-419-0008, 419-0008. And stay with us. We'll be right back.
Waking up to your aliveness is what Sherry Gaba teaches her clients in person, by phone, or through Skype. Sherry teaches you how to live a life filled with harmony, peace, joy, and purpose, with real tools to change anything in your life, whether it's a relationship, career, financial abundance, anxiety, depression, or any addiction, whether it's alcohol, food, even obsessive love, or the internet. Sherry is a licensed psychotherapist and a certified transformation and recovery coach. Call Sherry at 818-756-3338. Email her at sherry@sgabatherapy.com. And check out her website at www.sherrygaba.com.
DeMone Treatment Centers, based in Southern California, provides innovative and cutting-edge treatment tailored specifically for teens aged 13 to 18 struggling with addiction and mental health issues. With two residential treatment centers in Topanga and Ojai, and two partial hospitalization and outpatient facilities in Bel Air and Ojai, we provide the most effective level of care to meet our clients' unique needs. Our strength-based, solution-focused program empowers our clients to become the engine of their recovery. For more information, go to evolvetreatment.com or call 1-800-665-GROW.
It's showtime.
Now, back to the Kim Pagano Show on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on The Brighter Side of Life. I do want to remind you of our show 6 to 8 every Saturday morning, starting your day in a positive way. I want to thank all of our advertisers, all of our sponsors, our partners, all of our people that make it possible for the Kim Pagano Show to be on here. And we really appreciate that. I do want to remind everyone to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and I hope that you have one of our newsletters that we send out every week. We send out a recovery letter for our recovery shows, and then The Brighter Side of Life on the rest of the time. And it's really just more chances to win, more chances to connect with all of our great people that we have here. And I invite you to share our show with people. Share our show and make us out there so we can grow and keep spreading the brighter side. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Our next guest, Michelle Rosenthal, Heal Your PTSD. Michelle, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
Oh. And thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go into really what PTSD is.
Absolutely. That's a great place to start, because everyone always wants to know, why are you so passionate about PTSD? And the reason is because I lived it. Back in 1981, I was just this happy-go-lucky kid. I was in a great family. And that summer, I was 13, and I had a basic run-of-the-mill infection. The doctor prescribed a basic run-of-the-mill antibiotic. And what happened after that shocked everybody. I ended up with an allergic reaction to the medication that none of my doctors, and I was in New York City at a large teaching hospital, nobody had ever seen what was happening to me. Essentially, the medication created this allergic reaction that turned me into the equivalent of a full-body burn victim.
Oh, gosh,
that's horrible.
I know. It's almost, you can't even imagine it, right?
That's crazy.
After a couple of weeks in a quarantine burn unit hospital room, the You don't even know. I don't even know sometimes how to explain it because I like to just gloss over the details. They're horrific. So we'll just cut to the end and say I lost 100% of the first two layers of my skin.
Oh, dear Lord.
Wow. Today, when that happens, they immediately put people into a coma until it's over. But in 1981, they didn't really have a protocol for dealing with this, so I was awake and conscious the whole time. And think back to yourself at 13. What kind of coping mechanisms did you have for major trauma?
Mm. Now, did you have family support and all that?
I did. I had amazing family support, which is one of the reasons why I made it. I had a near-death out-of-body experience. My mother pulled me back or coaxed me back. So she was integral to my survival. My father was also there doing everything he could to research and get the right help for me, which is one of the reasons why I don't. Many survivors look like burn victims. Your skin is different colors and there are scars everywhere, but I actually, because my care was so great because of my parents, I emerged looking fine on the outside. It was on the inside in my head that things were not so good.
So what type of treatment did you proceed with after your trauma?
I refused. You mean psychological help?
Yes.
I refused it because all I wanted to do was get as far away from that experience as possible. I did not want to talk about it. I didn't want to revisit it. I wanted to just go back to who I'd been before.
So how did you heal? So how did you heal your trauma?
Well, it took 24 years of PTSD symptoms chronically disabling my life before I actually got my PTSD diagnosis. And then my recovery process included both traditional methods like talk therapy, cognitive behavior therapy, and alternative practices like hypnosis and neuro-linguistic programming and energy processing.
So, question, if you had had the therapy when this first happened, do you think your journey of healing would have been shorter and easier?
I think it's impossible to say. That's a great question, and I think there are some people that, yes, that would absolutely be the case. I think there are also those of us who, you know, trauma affects the brain, and it can dampen your ability to put language to words. It can interrupt your ability to process memory and emotion. And so if you're young and unable to process and unable to find the words and really hanging on by a thin psychological thread, I think some of us need the time to regroup and reclaim before we can face the recovery process, which is difficult and frightening. So I'm not sure. I don't know if we could say definitively one way or the other which would be better.
Yeah, I kind of almost think when something bad happens, I lost a baby and ended up getting a divorce at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was trauma
for
me.
Huge,
yeah.
Definitely. Multiple trauma, really.
Yeah, it really was. But I remember trying to pick myself up, dust myself off, and keep going on. You kind of just...
disassociate, you numb out. I mean, the symptoms of trauma is like you kind of are in a fight flight when the trauma occurs.
Right.
And if you know, you don't really, can't always fight or flee. So what happens is you freeze, which is that numbing out and disassociating. And a lot of people in recovery understand this. There's a lot of trauma underneath addiction, like a lot of trauma. But when you're first getting sober, you really need to just get sober. If you start unleashing that trauma too soon, that can be even more traumatic. And even a lot of people in rehab, let's say you try to do meditation with them, they can't even do a meditation because it's so painful.
They can't still themselves.
Oh, it's just, it just will freak them out often. But you know, it's not a one shop fits all, you know, it's not a one shoe fits all. I mean, everybody kind of heals the way they need to heal. But I'd love to hear more about the energy healing because I'm a big proponent of somatic experiencing and tapping. I think those are great modalities or great healing methods for getting through trauma.
I think you're so right. I've interviewed Peter Levine, and I just adore him and his process, and I wish that I had had access to it during my recovery. I didn't discover it until after I was 100% recovered, but I did use tapping. I love thought field therapy and emotional freedom technique, and I had great results with those. They didn't free me from symptoms, but they allowed me to become more functional. So I went from being in the bed without a job to being able to interact with society, hold a job, and be a functional human being again. And that was amazing for me.
You know, go ahead, Kim. Well, I just was wondering, because some people do Reiki therapy and energy healing and things like that. I feel like that is great, like, for the moment if there's some trauma. But I think it's the slow, somatic, getting in touch with your body, even though it takes a long time. See, people want, like, instant fixes. And so I appreciate that you appreciate somatic work, because I don't think these other energy healings are long-term. I mean, they're okay, like I said, for the moment if you're going through something. But, Kim, what did you want to ask?
Well, I just wanted – no, it's fine.
I have so much to say.
Yeah, but, no, I just wanted – what do you think really helped you recover? And, you know, there was a – I'm really sensitive to medicine. So when I hear your story, I remember having pneumonia, and I'm super allergic to penicillin. So the doctor went and looked at everything to make sure that they didn't have any penicillin. They gave this to me, and I'm like, okay. I was so sick, and I came home, and my husband's going to make me some soup. And I said, I'm taking the pill. I still do this. I'm like, I'm taking the pill. And he's like, okay, yeah, whatever, you know. And I go, like, watch me. And within, he went out to our family room, and I was in the bedroom, and I came running out. My throat had already closed. That's scary. Do you still have some of that trauma that, you know, I'm not going to take any medication, I'm not going to...
I am so with you. Right after my trauma, I wouldn't even take a Tylenol.
Yeah,
what could happen.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's interesting, you know, we talk about recovering, and we talk about recovering from anything that you're waking up to, and that's really what our show is about. When you call your recovering, is it recovering from the trauma of obviously, you know, the horrific thing that you went through? But was it something that, do you think you had a reaction in your body? Where do you think you were at?
Well, I think trauma is a reaction that we have both in our body and our mind. You know, the body records everything down to your tiniest cell has a memory of your of experience. So even if we don't have a physical trauma, and I mean, mine was, but even if you don't, if you just have a lot of verbal abuse over many years, your body holds the imprint of what that felt like.
Right.
So on the body level, we experience and hold trauma. And of course, in the brain, not only the way trauma affects the brain, but how it changes and distorts belief systems and our behavior after that. And, you know, what you were saying earlier about the fight, flight, or freeze response, all of that gets activated. And if it doesn't resolve, then we get stuck in that trauma loop. And so I think, you know, we get hung up both in the body and the mind. And I think that's why it's so useful to have a recovery process that engages practices specifically for each.
Wow. You know, I find a lot of people in my life coaching practice that they come and they say, I'm stuck. I can't move forward. And most of the time, 99.9, it's because there's trauma. So there's a lot of people out there that are coaches are saying, oh, yeah, come hire me. And it's like, they're not going to move forward till they release that trauma, and they need to work with a real professional that can help them release that trauma. A life coach cannot help them. You need to be a certified person that understands trauma.
So, Michelle, on that same note, what is one thing, one really important tip that you could give our listeners that are trying to recover from a trauma?
I think if I had to just choose one, I would, gosh, there are so many, but okay, I'll just choose this one.
Like a mantra that a person recovering should continually say in their head.
I can do this.
Oh,
I can do
how
this.
How easy is that?
Wow, I'm going to go, okay, give us three, because that's such a good one.
Because I can do this. First of all, trauma and PTSD particularly make you feel powerless. Recovery is really about that shift to powerful. And even if we don't believe it, we have to be open to the idea, I can do this. Because I think recovering from trauma and PTSD is worse than the original trauma itself.
Well, and you know,
ooh,
I know,
that's a powerful statement.
Yeah, and I want to say this just for anybody that really doesn't know PTSD. It's really where your body or your mind goes right back to the incident of where you were in so much pain, correct? And then on top of it, you start to visualize other painful things or other things that you almost your mind elaborates in your mind that you can't switch the channel. Is that make sense?
Well, I think that makes total sense. I think that's one aspect of it, because that really speaks to the symptom of flashbacks. And I would add to that that there are four categories of symptoms for post-traumatic stress disorder. One is re-experiencing, which you're talking about. Okay. The other is avoidance, what I was saying earlier. I don't want to go anywhere near it. Don't talk to me about it. Don't ask me to go back
there.
Oh,
that's so true. Yeah.
And then we have arousal, that state of hypervigilance where we are exaggerated startle response and always expecting something bad to happen. And then the fourth category are mood alterations, where we have a persistent negative world and self-view that really interferes with our ability to do anything. So I think within those categories, we have different symptoms for each one, and every PTSD experience is individual. Some people will have flashbacks but not nightmares. Other people will have horrible avoidance but no hyperarousal or reduced hyperarousal. It's a very individual response.
And what was the fourth one you said?
Mood alterations.
Mood alterations. Okay. Wow.
You have a lot of self-blame, guilt, shame, and this persistent negative perspective.
Wow, I love
it. And a lot of acting out behaviors are the result.
Are we going to find all that in your book?
Yes, absolutely. Heal Your PTSD, Dynamic Strategies That Work, is built on a model of education, communication, and implementation.
And Michelle, is this your first book?
No, this is actually my third book about trauma.
Oh, my God. You know what? Will you send us your other books? I'd love to have you back. This was you just got some really strong statements in there. And I just think so many people are going through this. And I know it's actually kind of newer with the veterans now, PTSD. But I think so many of us are feeling that. So
I think that's so true. And we have on the HealMyPTSD.com website a self-test for PTSD. So if anybody's listening and thinks, is this what I'm dealing with? Hop onto the HealMyPTSD.com website, go to the symptoms tab, and take the test.
Okay, great.
Oh,
thank you
really
so much.
Idea.
Yeah, that's a great thing. I'd love you to get in touch with us so we can get you back. We are at the end of our show, and Michelle Rosenthal, Heal Your PTSD, thank you so much. We're going to end our show with a moment of happiness. If you can't explain it simply, you don't know it well enough. With that, you've been listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Recovery. Have a really great rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.